Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 17, Weight Loss and Running. Embarking on a running career, making running part of your life will definitely help you control your weight from now on. But as I'm sure you know, it's only a part of the challenge of maintaining your weight. Running combined with a healthy diet will help you lose weight by virtue of the calories you burn. But equally important is that running will greatly improve your health. And as you feel better, you'll be much more likely to be able to stay focused and maintain motivation for healthier eating. You won't have to eat perfectly. You just have to be wise and make good decisions most of the time. And the rest of the time, you have to be reasonable. Note, though, that when people start running without the element of a healthy diet, or if they don't focus on avoiding increasing calories, then sometimes they actually gain weight. There, I've said it. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Running is definitely not a panacea for weight loss, but starting a running regimen, changing your life to include running on most days of the week, will bring about a huge change in your health and fitness, including assisting with weight loss and playing a critical role in maintaining a healthy weight. I know it's much easier for me to maintain a healthy weight because I run, and I can't even imagine being able to do it without at least several hours of exercise every week. Let me tell you Molly's story. Molly registered for my local beginner runner program a few years back. At the first workout, Molly said she had lost already 110 pounds. That was all over the period of the previous year. And she was now down to her ideal weight, which was obvious to everyone there because she looked great. But she said that every single day when she wakes up, she looks under the sheet to see if she's still her new self. To make sure her new body is not a dream, she always worries that she'll gain the weight back, and so she started running to help to give her more control to make sure that that didn't happen. By a long shot, the most common reason people start running is to lose weight. Probably, I would say, at least 80% of the runners out there either started running to lose weight or started running to keep from gaining weight. Once I asked on the Mojo for Running Facebook wall, why do you run? I was amazed at some of the very slender runners who said, so I can eat. I wouldn't have thought they ever thought they had to ever worry about their weight, but running for weight loss is extremely common. You'd have thought those runners had always been slender and never had weight issues. But when you talk to these people, often the problem of gaining weight is a constant thought in the back of their minds. That piece of cake, that donut, that plate of pasta looks just as good to a super slender athlete as they do to you. You may find yourself saying, well, she's just naturally thin when you see a slender runner, but really, very, very few people fit that description. One of the common questions I get from beginner runners is, what should I eat? My answer is always the same. If you're eating a healthy diet, then eat exactly what you're already eating. If you aren't eating a healthy diet, make that a priority. Running doesn't require anything special, and there are many ways to eat a healthy diet. Pick an eating plan that you think will work for you. For example, if you've always hated vegetables, then a vegetarian diet is probably not realistic. On the other hand, if you love vegetables, this might be easy. Research options, all your options, and realize that you're not going on a diet per se. You're changing the way you eat. It's part of the whole process you're going through of becoming more fit. Many beginner runners are overweight. In fact, I would say at least 80%, maybe 85%. After all, almost everyone takes up running to, and I put this in air quotes, get in shape. And by that, they at least partially mean to lose weight, and some mean to lose weight exclusively. That is what motivated me to start running back in, wait for it, 1977. Wendy was born in February, and 6 months later, I was still struggling to lose the last 10 pounds of the 30 that I had gained. I had never had a weight problem before that, but I could not get the rest of that weight off. I'm going to be honest, I had always hated running, and I had never been successful at it. Maybe that's why I hated it. But with that stubborn weight to lose, I was motivated to run for the first time in my life. I lost the weight, but what I remember more is how running quickly had much more value than just as a means to lose weight. I don't even recall how long it took. I remember learning to love running more than I remember the details of losing the weight. If you are overweight and looking to use running to help you meet your weight goals, don't be intimidated by thinner runners because many of them started from right where you are now, or at least from some point of needing to lose weight, just like I did. And even though that may be hard for you to imagine, they all can relate. And they all look at you just starting out and feel a desire to encourage you, to pat you on the back, to say, I know it's hard, and you feel like you have so far, far to go. But believe in yourself and know that we believe in you. Since we did it, we all know that you can do it. It's critical for you to keep in mind that every extra pound you're carrying makes every mile, even every half mile, even every step, more work for you. That's not news to you, right? But I'm pointing that out because I want you to feel good about your effort. It's more work for your heart, your joints, your tendons, your muscles, everything. So don't compare yourself to those runners and accept that you can get there from where you are now. But you need to take time and focus your efforts more on weight loss and using the running as a means to help you achieve your end goal and improve your overall health. But realize that the running alone is not enough. It has to be part of a grand plan for getting your life, all areas of your life, under control. Once, years ago, two women, two mothers, Karen and Marcia, joined my running group. Karen had two kids, Marcia had three. Over the weeks, as they came to know me, each divulged to me that the other had experienced a tragic loss. Both had lost their husbands, suddenly and unexpectedly. They had bonded after meeting in a therapy group. Not surprisingly, both were depressed. Over time, they had gotten into the habit of going out to eat, and as they did, they kept gaining weight. Certainly, neither had been motivated to exercise. They were just trying to get by, to keep putting one foot in front of the other. After a few weeks in my program, they were both losing weight, and they started to feel happy again and encouraged at a time when they had not felt either of those emotions for many months. But it wasn't so much the running as that they had started feeling better about themselves. The running had lifted their spirits, which helped them to have the power to take control and make wiser decisions. They stopped being victims. They knew that they needed to do what they needed to do all along. These were smart, accomplished women. Every time they met at a restaurant, every time they ordered, they knew they were only making one of their problems, weight gain, worse. And then they felt even more guilty. But the immediate pleasure of that loaded baked potato, the immediate, if extremely brief pleasure that provided, was stronger at that moment than their long-term desire to lose weight and improve their health. As they became more fit, even though they were still mostly walking, Karen and Marcia started to feel better and started to see themselves differently. They felt empowered. They discovered the benefit of endorphins, that the high they provide is not like a sugar high that they would crash from an hour later. No, the endorphins kept them feeling good for hours, and the mental benefit was huge. Instead of eating food and then feeling more guilty than ever, they were exercising and feeling positive, experiencing a far more improved mental state that helped them make wise decisions. Even after the endorphins wore off, they had the reinforcing knowledge that they were taking their lives back, gaining control, learning how to move on. They were feeling the opposite of guilt. They felt pride, satisfaction, reinforcement, and even a little bit of optimism. Running for weight loss is great, but it works better for some people than others. My goal here is to help you to be successful. Keep in mind that if you have been very inactive, then you will likely feel like you are doing so much more when you start running, even if it's just a couple of miles and mostly walking. Well, that likely will be true, that you will be doing a tremendously increased amount of physical effort or expending a tremendously greater amount. But it's critical to realize that you do not need to consume extra calories to offset that. The most critical consideration if you want running to be effective for weight loss is to maintain a constant reality check. If you're overweight, then in almost all cases, part of it is that you were eating the wrong foods for some time. But the other part is that you were likely consuming too many calories, more than you burned, more calories than your lifestyle warranted. Most people far overestimate the number of calories burned by their activities. Running helps you keep it real. This is what often happens. Jennifer has gotten very little exercise over the last several years, and her weight has continued to climb. She starts a beginner runner program and builds up to a one-hour workout per day, 3 days per week. She is mostly walking, managing about 3 miles in that hour, a tremendous improvement over what she was doing before, enough to have a great impact on her health. She's well on her way to her first 5K. How many calories do you think she's burning in that hour? I'll pause a few seconds for you to guess. A general rule is that you burn around 100 calories a mile, no matter whether you walk it or run it. But the more you weigh, the more calories you burn per mile. She weighs more than average, so let's say she's burning 115 calories per mile. That's 345 calories she's burning during that hour, 3 days per week. So that's 1,035 calories per week. How much weight will she lose if she sticks to this exercise routine for a month without any changes in her diet? If she sticks to this regimen for a month, she will have burned an extra 4,140 calories, or just over 1 pound. There are 3,500 calories in a pound. That's not a bad situation. It's been proven that if you lose weight gradually, you'd be more likely to keep it off. But many people watch The Greatest Loser and start thinking that losing 10 pounds or more per week is reasonable. And if that's so, then they expect to at least to lose 2 or 3 per week. But it's just not that easy. Here is the way it often goes. Let's say Jennifer usually goes to Starbucks on her afternoon break and she has a caramel frappuccino. Now, because she feels like she's getting lots of exercise, she starts adding a reduced-fat berry coffee cake with lemon crumbles. Calories for that? 320. Boom! Now she's gaining weight. And that's if she only eats that treat on the days when she runs. By the way, that low-fat goodie has 31 grams of sugar. Just to put that in perspective, that's just shy of 8 teaspoons of sugar. That's just an example. What if Jennifer brings a Greek yogurt to the office for an afternoon snack? That would have between 80 and 160 calories, half as much. However, many of these still have a high sugar content. You get the idea, though. And the critical point here is that she doesn't need any additional calories. The reason she has weight to lose is that she was already either consuming too many calories or consuming the wrong kind of calories, i.e. the frappuccino. More on that later, but I digress for a moment. Most weight loss experts say you don't have to give up all the foods you love, but make changes gradually. Instead of a 12-ounce no-whip caramel frapp at 300 calories and a whopping 45 grams of sugar, yep, that's what I said, she could switch to a 12-ounce whole milk latte, which is only 180 calories and has zero sugar. And the milk will have some fat in it, which will make her feel more sated, more comfortable for longer and not so hungry, and it's got protein in it. That may not seem like much, but that would save her 120 calories per day or 600 calories per week, if we only count weekdays, and 31,200 calories per year, which is 9 pounds. Yes, small changes can have huge payoffs. Anyway, if you want running to help with weight loss, it's essential to do a reality check first. Once you start running to lose weight and get familiar with how much effort it takes to go a mile, it will be easier to put calorie burning into perspective. And sometimes that is a critical element that gets people losing weight. It's just a matter of raising their awareness. A couple of years ago, I taught an 8th grade science class for what they call here in Florida the Great American Teach-In. I decided to help them get a realistic idea of how much exercise they need to do to make up for the amount of food that they eat. I introduced the topic with this M&M example. I asked them to think of a typical football field. How far would you have to run on the football field to burn off the calories of just one M&M? That's what I asked them. I let them guess aloud, and the longest distance anyone guessed was 60 yards. In fact, I explained, to burn off just one M&M, you'd have to run or walk the entire length of a football field and across both end zones, 120 yards. If you were to eat a whole small package of M&Ms, that's about 53, you'd need to run or walk 120 yards 53 times. I'll link to an article with these facts in the show notes. The night before I spoke to the 8th graders, I made each student a bag with two Oreo cookies in it. The next day, when I gave them out, I told them we'd walk around the track until they had burned off the calories in the cookies, and then they could eat them. As we walked, they kept saying, "Mrs. Voiles, that must be far enough by now." They couldn't believe they had to go around that track 3.5 times because each cookie had 45 calories. One last eye-opening example. I shared this reality check with them. Non-runners, beginner runners, while any non-marathoner thinks a marathon is an incomprehensible distance and assumes a single marathon race would cause weight loss. In fact, I think most people believe all marathoners are slender. That's not all true. A marathon is 26.2 miles, so that's about 2,620 calories, far less than a single pound, far less. Of course, to do a marathon requires months of training, but more people gain weight than lose weight when they train for their first marathon. Many people do lose weight, but it's essential that they keep track of their eating because it's so easy to casually eat a little extra every day because their brain says they're burning so many calories in their training. Marathon runners usually do need more calories, but those calories must be healthy, nutrient-rich foods. One of the best strategies would be to journal what you're eating before you start training and continue to journal after starting to run. Another common pitfall for new runners is that they see all those commercials in magazines and TV for sports drinks. If you believe them, you'll be convinced that you need to chug a lug a sports drink every half hour that you train. Don't be misled. You'll feel like you're doing a tremendous amount of training, and compared to what you were doing a few weeks ago, you will be. But you don't need anything more than water unless you're out there for more than 90 minutes. Runners are perfectly fine running 9 miles without consuming any extra nutrition. In a half marathon, most will consume 1 or 2 goo packs. And goo packs are, they come in many different forms, but what we generally refer to as goo is like a prepackaged, it's almost like the consistency of pudding, and it comes in a little foil packet. You buy them at running stores, and it just gives you some carbohydrate and electrolytes to keep you going. You can also get little things that they're almost like jelly beans that are similar. Or maybe they drink glasses of diluted electrolyte replacement beverages at water stops. I say diluted because most of those drinks, something like Gatorade, is full of sugar and more concentrated than most runners would want or need. As in the previous examples, if you drink a smoothie after a workout, thinking you need to replace what you expended, then you're probably going to defeat your weight loss goals. Choose something healthy that has protein and is not high in sugar content instead. You don't need all those carbs. Do drink plenty of water. Until you're training for more than 90 minutes at a time, water is your best friend. But don't skip meals. Eat a healthy breakfast and lunch, and then you'll be ready for your afternoon workout. If you want a snack first, by all means, just keep it healthy. Opt for something that is low on the glycemic scale, easy on your tummy, and nutrient dense. A banana or maybe an apple is a good snack before you go for your run. When your steering wheel wants to turn towards that fast food place, you must be strong. Fight back and steer it towards that vegetable stand on the other side of the street. Or better yet, pack a healthy snack and take it with you. The most important thing to consider when running for weight loss is to make sure you're eating a healthy diet, and there are many ways to do that. It's not just calories in and calories out. which was the prevailing opinion for many years, but more on that later. Consider that there are many healthy ways to eat, for sure, but here are a few things that have been proven to be most important in the last few years. One is to eat foods that are in their natural state, no processed foods, nothing in a box, nothing in a cellophane wrapper. Some issues regarding nutrition are hotly debated by experts, but this one is not. I've never heard anyone make a case for processed foods being healthy. If a food doesn't go bad, then it has preservatives, chemicals. I watched a video recently. A woman had accidentally left a package of ice cream sandwiches in her car for 12 hours, and they didn't melt. They didn't melt. Later, she reenacted it to make the YouTube video. That's scary. In the video, she had two brands of ice cream. One melted, as you would expect, and the other did not. The one that melted had the usual simple ice cream ingredients, all identifiable, ingredients that we all know. The one that didn't melt had several more ingredients, chemicals. I would not want to eat that ice cream that would not melt. Always read labels. If there's anything you don't recognize, don't eat it. And if it says natural flavoring or natural coloring, don't eat it. The word natural is a cover-up. If they thought you'd be happy with whatever it is, then they'd tell you what it was they used, right? Remember, poison mushrooms are natural, and so is poison ivy. You get my point. We know it's key to avoid chemicals and food additives, hormones, and antibiotics. One outstanding consideration is that running will change your whole outlook on life and your whole mental attitude. What seemed hard to do, maybe almost impossible to do, will seem easier. It will likely finally be doable. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You must do the things you think you cannot do." Once you start a running program, the things you cannot do may seem like things you can do. After all, before, you probably thought you couldn't run. I suggest each week making just one more change to the way you eat. Maybe the first week, it's just to stop putting sugar in your coffee, or to cut back by one package or packet, or maybe to switch from a venti-sized Starbucks coffee to a tall, or maybe to stop drinking soda, or treat yourself with just one or two a week, or maybe just eliminate wheat products, or even consume one less gluten-containing food a day. You have to start somewhere. If you drink juice, say orange juice, instead, eat an orange. That's much better, because that way you get the fiber and not nearly so much sugar. Every day, as when you finish your running workout, use that as motivation. Remind yourself of how hard you're working on your running and tell yourself you will maximize that benefit by improving your diet as you improve your fitness. We now know that the old saying, calories in, calories out, a calorie is a calorie, is absolutely not true. If you only eat healthy foods, you will almost surely see the pounds start to fall away. Combine that with running and success is guaranteed. Many people are finding that just stopping eating gluten will cause consistent weight loss. Turns out gluten may be a problem for just about everybody, but most people assume it's not a problem unless it causes digestive issues. According to Dr. David Perlmutter, author of Grain Brain, no one should be eating wheat. But that book is about much more than wheat. I also recommend the book Wheat Belly by William Davis, MD, and The PhD Diet by Paul Jaminet, PhD. By the way, PhD stands for Perfect Health Diet. Dr. Robert Lustig, American pediatric endocrinologist at the University of California, San Francisco, where he is professor of clinical pediatrics, made a speech at the UCSF Extension students for the UCSF Extension students, and it's on YouTube, titled Sweet Revenge, Turning the Tables on Processed Food. It is incredibly enlightening and has been viewed over 5 million times. And he has another video on YouTube, Sugar, the Bitter Truth, also viewed over 5 million times. Now, I have a quote for you from his article titled, Still Believe a Calorie is a Calorie? Here's the quote. If you do, you fly in the face of mounting and incontrovertible evidence that some calories, in particular sugar calories, are jeopardizing both your and your family's health. Physicians and politicians who cling to the dogma that all calories should be treated equally imperil our country's health care system, food supply, and standing in the world for the next 100 years. He goes on in that article to provide examples of how a calorie is not a calorie as regards fiber, protein, fat, and sugar. I highly recommend this article and, of course, I'll link to it in the show notes. Gary Taubes, that's spelled T-A-U-B-E-S, wrote the book Good Calories, Bad Calories, and Why We Get Fat. Michael Pollan, that's P-O-L-L-A-N, wrote In Defense of Food, An Eater's Manifesto. I love some of his quotes, and here are a couple. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And another. Don't eat anything your grandmother wouldn't recognize as food. And another. You are what you eat eats. Wait, I'll say that again. You are what you eat eats. I'll intentionally digress here for a minute. Do you know that most cattle in the U.S. are fed RBGH? That stands for bovine growth hormone. They feed that to cattle to fatten them up. Then we eat the meat and ingest that same hormone. That's just one reason I only eat organic meats and only dairy products that are free of RGBH. More quotes from Michael Pollan. Don't eat anything incapable of rotting. If it came from a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't. David Perlmutter is a renowned neurologist and expert in gluten issues, brain health, and nutrition, and preventing neurodegenerative disorders. This is a quote from him. Two forms of fat that are vitally important for brain health are cholesterol and saturated fat. Interesting, huh? And another. The biggest issue by far is that carbohydrates are absolutely at the cornerstone of all our major degenerative conditions. I know those statements may be hard to believe, and even the experts argue about some of them. I admit that, and I'm not an expert. These are some of the people that I read, and I think they're on the right track. But I encourage you to do your own research, read, or better yet, listen while you run, and watch some of the many great documentary films that illuminate so much about our food industry, about how TV and advertising influence diet choices, and so much more. I'll provide a link in the show notes to a PDF with a list of documentaries that you likely will find helpful. I think they're all available on Netflix. At the end of this podcast, after the ending quote, I'll read you a list of about a dozen documentary film titles, along with a one or two sentence description. I have watched many of them, but not all. Actually, you know what? I may not have that list handy. So I'm going to have to link to that in the show notes. But check that out because you can probably see all of them through Netflix. It truly knocked me out. When I saw some of these, to see how many of the foods that are approved by our FDA are banned in other countries. It's really scary. There's a lot to learn, but the more you know, the wiser choices you'll make, and the better you'll feel about your nutrition. A few websites you might enjoy are marksdailyapple.com, thewhole30.com, that's Whole, W-H-O-L-E, 30 in numerals.com, chriskresser.com, and that's spelled Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Kresser, K-R-E-S-S-E-R.com, Gary Taubes, and that's G-A-R-Y-T-A-U-B-E-S.com, and perfecthealthdiet.com. Of all the books you could read and all the articles you could study that would help with weight loss, the most helpful might be one I just read and then reread. Actually, I listened to it while I was running, and then I listened to it again. It's called Willpower by Kelly McGonigal, and that's spelled M-C-G-O-N-I-G-A-L. That is a great one, and perhaps the one that could have the greatest impact of all. And it's not about diet. It's about willpower in all parts of your life. Let me end with this. Running for weight loss makes good sense, great sense. But it won't work without the diet component. Not one special diet. Find what works for you. Find a diet that you can stick to, something that you can stick to for the rest of your life. There are so many fantastic, delicious foods that are 100% good for you. It's critical to focus first on diet and use increased exercise as a means to improve your overall health and help you maintain the weight you lose due to improved diet. I want to leave you with several quotes, which all relate to weight loss. Discipline is just choosing between what you want now and what you want most. That's from Anonymous. The great thing in the world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. That's from Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. Another anonymous one, what you did or did not do yesterday is not as important as what you do today. And one more. This might be the most powerful because it makes the most important point that you are in the end responsible for your own actions. And while that means self-discipline is essential, and we know exercising self-discipline is hard, none of us want other people making decisions for us about what we eat or how much we exercise. So here is just one last wonderful quote. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Pretty sure you know who that was, Dr. Seuss.